You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 17.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is Jill Renee Feeler. Jill is an author, futurist, spiritual experiencer, alchemist, gifted intuitive, and inspirational visionary for beings across the globe seeking personal reunion with their expanded vibrational access, their God consciousness. Her work is truly unique, as her journey and wisdom are led by her own inner connection to Source Creator God. Her work is deep and captivating, while also being fun and even playful, knowing the eternal light body is activated by an interdimensional approach that goes far beyond the mind's reach. So welcome, Jill. Thank you for joining me here on Mindful Marketing. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm excited to hear your story. So now I see on your website, so Beacon for Lightworkers. Tell me about that and how you ended up down this path, because I know you weren't initially on this path. You took a very different road.
I did. I took a sharp left turn somewhere back there. So my background is I have two business degrees and an MBA, and I was in corporate America and then some smaller corporations on the business side doing strategy, some marketing, but I started in finance. I had a very, successful career, was really happy with that. My husband and I were married in 1993, and we still have a very happy marriage and happy family. But at some point along the way, I was in the crux of two different business opportunities, one helping a startup get off the ground and basically leading that vision, or staying part-time at my corporate job with a young family and young kids at home. And I was just completely stressed out. I was just like the stress ball. And my sister-in-law said, "You should go see my psychic." And I just looked at her like, seriously? The dumbest idea I've ever heard of. But for some reason, Kimberly, I was open to it. So I did end up meeting with her psychic intuitive within a week. And I let that be a game-changing moment for me. She helped me see myself in a completely different way. She talked about my soul in terms of how deeply spiritual I actually am as an energetic being in this lifetime, but I wasn't really experiencing myself that way. So she was able to just offer a different lens of who and what I am. And I left that meeting thinking that everything I thought was life or death just moved way, way down in the priority list. And I just felt more open energetically, and that just started to kind of carry on a life of its own. I was very curious about intuition. She told me that I was highly intuitive, and I just started to explore myself and my world in a completely different way. So that I just allowed that to be a game-changing moment, and there was just a series of, I guess I would say, milestones for me where within, I think it was 9 months of that, I was doing a cold reading on somebody holding their jewelry, and I had a page full of information. And the instructions I got to do that first reading was don't think. And I mean, I remember looking at this guy thinking, don't think. That's what I do best. I'm an amazing thinker.
Somebody else.
Ayn Rand devotee, and it's awesome. So I just realized that there was a lot of spiritual gifts that I had access to that I didn't even know were there. And I couldn't get enough. I felt so alive doing this work. I felt so purposeful. I felt expanded. I felt just wonderful. And I realized that I really wanted to do that. So while I was working part-time in corporate, I was still, you know, really trying to do like practice readings with really anyone that would let me, family, friends, et cetera. And I did that for a year, and that was wonderful. And then I started doing it professionally, and it just kind of grew and grew from there. And then eventually I left my corporate job. My husband was supportive of that. I was already working, you know, just like 12 hours a week anyway. And I knew that my income from my spiritual work wasn't going to replace it, possibly for a while and possibly never. But that wasn't the goal. It was more work-life balance, and it just felt like the right thing to do to devote more of my time and attention and energy to my family and my spiritual work. So I quit.
Wow. That's such a big step when you say, I'm out.
I know. Yeah. And it was wonderful how synchronistic it all was, because I really felt like the universe at the time was saying, we'd love for you to make a choice here. So my boss had come to me and said, you know, Joe, you're awesome. We love you. We want you to come full time. And I was just, I said, I need a couple of days to think about this. And I remember driving home, and I was talking with what I call my team, which some would probably call spirit guides. I just feel like they're an extension of me. And I said, I don't want to do this. And they said, okay, why don't you want to do this? I said, because I don't care about that work anymore. Mm. And I could just feel them like smile. Like, okay, good. Let's quit. But I needed my husband's support for that. I would go back to corporate in a minute if financially I needed to for my family. I don't have any aversion to it. I realize it doesn't own me. I don't have to be robotic about anything that I do. But I'm also glad that I'm able to do what I do.
That's beautiful. That's when we can finally follow our passion and be happy. That's such an amazing turning point.
Yeah.
And not everybody does it. And so that's why we're here, to help people make that decision to just move forward. So as you start the business, what were the steps in actually like, okay, now I'm going to make this a business. Was there a certain thought process you had? How did you start that?
I was clear at that point after doing practice readings and things for a year. I was clear about what I was going to start offering. And I did have a vision for how it would grow. I knew that some of the writings I was doing were meant for a global audience. I knew that I would be able to share, I want to say live, just verbally, without writing anything down beforehand. Some would probably call that live channeling. And I knew that they were meant for a global audience and for global kind of evolution, if you will. So I'd love to do things on a micro scale, one-on-one, but there was so much information coming through in private sessions that I knew like 10 million other moms would love to hear that message, or, you know, 10 million other adult children would need to hear that about their, you know, aging parents. So I knew it was more than just that person that information would be relevant for. So I started with the website, and then I just kind of had a vision that I would be growing into other ways to share in a one-to-many sort of fashion. So eventually it was the internet radio was the right option for me. For a while, though, Kimberly, I was sitting around feeling like, okay, I've got the website. I'm advertising in a local metaphysical magazine, which was so expensive to advertise. It was amazing to me. But I just started to get more clear about who my target market was, what sessions I felt the most, I wouldn't say important, that were the most kind of well-received, that I got most excited about. I was getting more savvy about who my target audience was and how I wanted to engage with them and on what level I wanted to engage with them. So I was sitting around thinking, you know, I think my, this is kind of embarrassing to say, but I really think I was waiting to be discovered. I was really, and someone had actually said to me, well, you know, Esther Hicks, who some people know from her law of attraction work, Esther Hicks was kind of discovered by, you know, Hay House, and she was introduced on stage by Wayne Dyer. And I thought, well, that would solve a lot of my problems. Maybe I'll do it that way. And after a while, after a few months of this, of me kind of being productive, but not really assertive about getting my work out there, my team finally came in a meditation and they said, how long exactly are you going to wait around for this discovery moment? And I said, I don't know. That's a good question. And I said, why am I waiting? And they said, exactly. Why are you waiting? You've got more than enough to share now. Why are you waiting for others to pull you in when you can make a space for yourself? Mm. And that's what I did. So from that moment on, it was a huge epiphany for me that I wasn't going to wait around for people to invite me into venues. I wasn't going to wait for speaking engagements. I was going to create my own stage because I knew the information I was receiving and creating and sharing was so unique and was at such a different vibration than the other work that was out there. And I don't mean it in a superior way, but I was adding another layer to what was already available in spirituality and in consciousness raising activities. I knew I had a unique flavor of ice cream to add to the menu, and they may not see me as readily as I could see myself. So I put myself back in that driver's seat that it's my job to create my own stage and to share what I want to share. And I don't want to wait for an invitation to do that. So I created the internet radio show. I shared more on the website. I would put it on public kind of forums like lightworkers.org and just share whatever I really wanted to share at a minimal cost. They weren't charging me for advertising to share, and I got smarter about that, and I stopped waiting around.
Taking that step, right? Because it is, and I think sometimes it's that little fear too. It's like, well, if I wait here, but this is taking that first step and moving forward. That's great.
It was big.
Big change. So now that you've taken the step and put yourself out there, what kind of marketing strategies did you use? You kind of mentioned maybe a little advertising here and there, but now that you've learned, what is it that you're using? What works for you?
You know, I have taken probably a pretty countercultural approach in terms of marketing. And I was kind of contemplating this last night for the interview because I don't do things in a linear way anymore. You know, I love the left hemisphere of my brain and I love my MBA background and all that offered. But there was a part of me that realized that I get that whole sense that marketing is icky because I didn't want to try to convince anyone of anything. So I adopted a strategy of what I call, I offer, I share, and I be. Uh-huh. So I offer what I feel from my heart space and my, what I call my soul signature. I share it in a way that feels good and honoring and authentic to me. And I be that energy. In other words, I represent and I'm an animation of that energy in my personal and my professional life. That to me is my marketing strategy, if you will, that my job is to present it and to represent it to the very best of my ability, knowing that I'm continuously evolving. And as source energy, as God energy, we're actually never done growing. That's what makes it infinite. So that's my kind of approach. And I'm very discerning about what I spend my money on, if I'm getting a return on it. And I didn't want to lose money. That was my first goal, was I didn't want to lose money at what I was doing. So I did pull out of advertising in the local metaphysical magazine that was so, in my mind, overpriced. But she's kind of, you know, a very limited business model. So she kind of has to do it that way, but I didn't feel obligated to support her legacy business model that I didn't agree with anymore. I shouldn't have to pay to share a message. So I decided I wasn't going to anymore. So I would submit my writings to publications and they started to get picked up by the Sedona Journal of Emergence. That was big win. I felt like for me in terms of recognition of the value of my work. It's a very reputable magazine in metaphysical circles across the globe. And as I started to share once a week these very powerful messages and meditations, I did gather a following. And there was kind of a nice kind of viral spread on a small scale of my iTunes podcast, and it was on Blog Talk Radio. And then I started to create videos. And I feel like that was really a launching point because YouTube is such an easy way and a common way for spiritual experiencers to be encouraged, be, you know, inspired and gather new information from new, what I call spiritual messengers. So YouTube was a big one. And then I started getting clients from that work. So I had, you know, I have clients literally all over the globe and the vast majority of them have found me through my YouTube videos. So that's kind of how it began. But I am very discerning about what feels right to me and what feels authentic to me. I have had opportunities to join, you know, networks of spiritual messengers. So it's like a grouping of folks on Blog Talk Radio that form almost like a network. And, you know, sometimes it's multiple thousands of dollars And then it was so weird to me because she said, well, if you don't want to do your own show, why don't you pay like $2,500 for 6 months to be a co-host on my show? And I was like, oh my gosh, she's wanting me to pay to be a guest on her show. And I'm like, this is so bizarre. I felt like I was in a parallel universe. And I was like, is she serious? And she was serious.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I would never do that. And I'm fine that somebody else would want to. But for me, I was kind of like, hell no. Why would I do that? And I wasn't really convinced that it was going to provide the value that she thought it would. Because it's more than about numbers. I have clients that have, 10,000 likes on their Facebook page, but they're not paying the bills.
Right.
The numbers can be very misrepresentative in terms of the actual value that somebody is garnering in terms of, revenue and profitability and all those things. And my numbers on YouTube, what I realized as well over time was that I was gifting so much information, Kimberly. I mean, I had a weekly 90-minute show, and it wasn't like a teaser. It was like it. It was Wow. The bread and butter of what I was offering. And some people would probably say that was really stupid of me, but again, my mission was to share and offer and be. I was satisfied at that. But I was realizing that my little, please donate option was very, very unsuccessful. There were very few people feeling compelled to donate any money. And I said, okay, well, all right, so now I know. Donations via YouTube videos is unsuccessful, at least for me. So I'm not going to expect any return on that. So how am I going to do this? So I cut back the amount that I was gifting because I was out of balance in terms of how much I was giving away and how much I was expecting back in terms of my time is valuable. And I do feel comfortable earning a living at something that is spiritual. I don't have any qualms about that. I feel very, good about that. I'm worth it at least as much of an hour as an hour long massage at a spa. And I have way longer benefits than a massage too. So I just started to reprioritize and reevaluate where I was earning my money, which clients or, which of my audiences were probably possibly never going to buy anything from me. And I'm okay with that, but I also want to balance that I don't want to give away the store. So I became more discerning about sharing gifted messages once a month and then developing a system for, selling these other workshops the other week, but making it affordable. So there's, high ticket price items and low ticket price items. And I still feel good about the ones that I gift because there is a component of me wanting to share no matter what somebody's economic status is.
Right. And at one point you touched on there that I just want to highlight a little bit is managing your numbers. Because I think that's the one thing that, especially in mind, body, spirit, we are so focused on what we are giving and the energy that we have. We forget that it is a business and that we need to know exactly where those numbers are coming from. And because if you can't, and I think I don't know, people listen to me all the time. They're probably tired of hearing me say this, but like, if you don't know the numbers coming in and the energy that's coming in via, monetary, then you can't know what you can give back. And that's, that's so key. So yes, being able to monitor that and know is.
Yes. And giving yourself permission to reevaluate on a regular basis and letting yourself have those, personal insights, either through your own self-awareness or through others that can kind of give you some insights about, is that really working for you? I mean, I have clients from all different backgrounds and a lot of them are also in spiritual service. And it was so funny because one time this woman said, she asked her team, her guys through me, when am I going to start making money? And her team answered, when you start charging. I had to laugh and I said, we're not laughing at you, but this is their answer. And we both started laughing. And she said, I have such a hard time with that. And I was like, I know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about why you have a hard time charging, why you have insecurities about the value of the work that you're offering. And let's compare that to other things that you know your clients are spending money on.
Yep.
Are you okay that they're spending money for a pedicure or a massage or a therapist or, what a latte? How are you? What's your value compared to that? Let's just be practical here.
Yep. Because there's definitely, there's so much abundance out there. And it's just knowing your value and being okay with that for sure.
And then, the clients that ask, will you discount for me because of this situation? Or, you know, I can't afford this. I feel good that I can say, you know what, I've got over 100 videos and, you know, thousands of hours of amazing messages and meditations that I offer for exactly situations like yours. So I feel okay that I'm not leaving you out of what I'm doing and offering to the world through my work by the rates that I charge for private sessions. That's my balance.
Right. Absolutely.
And I won't take emergency, you know, emails in the middle of the night of, oh my God, my life is falling apart. I need you. I'm sorry. I'm very compassionate about their situation, but I also realize they probably can't hear me when they're in a state of panic. So I don't drop everything in my life. I have a calendar and they can schedule something. And that allows me to be Jill, the mom, and Jill, the wife, and Jill, just human Jill, who likes to enjoy her free time.
Yep. I like that because we're so used to having other people's emergencies become our emergencies, and they don't ever need to be. Because usually if you give them a moment, that emergency goes away.
That's so true. And I find that so often when they're in the midst of the panic, I'm like, okay, take some deep breaths. You know where the calendar is. And I know you'll be able to find something. And I'm like, trust you. And then by the time we end up meeting, they're like, oh my God, I'm so glad we didn't meet then. I was able to work through it, Jill. And I'm like, yes, I knew it. And then we can talk about something totally different in the time that we have together. That's not an emergency, which was never an emergency. It just felt like it.
Our perception is everything.
Exactly.
So who is your ideal client and how do you determine who they are?
My ideal client is somebody that is so open-minded and open-hearted and really wanting to, you know, feel that creative spirit and that evolutionary progressive change in their life. They're committed to it. It's not just something they say. It's something they're actually embodying in terms of an energetic pattern of what I call upward spiraling energies. Those to me are my favorite clients because they really do. They don't just want a sounding board to complain about their lives. That's not my ideal client. They really want to see themselves and their loved ones in a fresh new way from, I would say, the perspective of source energy that helps them expand beyond limitations, stepping more into just the overall vibration of abundance, which of course isn't just matter and material things. It's the antimatter and the ethereal feeling body of joy and thriving in our lives. So those are my ideal clients.
That's great. And so with the marketing to these clients and stuff, what do you think are the specific challenges we face as mind, body, spirit entrepreneurs in marketing our message?
Mm-hmm. But it's such a tricky one because it's hard to even put into words some of the things that we do, right? I mean, I think we're all in that camp. How do you even, what title do you put on a business card? You know what I mean? It feels constrained the minute you start to put these limited words around it sometimes. So my passion for marketing is about being as authentic as I can in every moment so that I'm being really clear about what I am offering. And then they can be discerning on their side about whether I'm a fit for them or not. So in terms of actual marketing, I really don't advertise. I use my website. I use Facebook. I obviously use YouTube and iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. I'm trying to think of some of the other things. When I do have things that are shared, like the gifted kind of messages that I do once a month, it does have a life of its own. It's shared in ways on the internet that websites I haven't even heard of. And I get clients from that. I get a lot of referrals. I have a lot of repeat clients, and I really have an amazing client base that I feel so blessed to be able to work with my existing clients and the new clients I get every week. I'm so overjoyed with how it's going, but I'm really not pushing it. So I'm assertive about what I offer and share and be, but I'm not very assertive about trying to pull things in to me. And I do trust that there is an energetic flow and that my authenticity stands out. And I do hear that from people that do come across my work.
Yes, authenticity is so key with everything we do, not even in marketing, just everyday life.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
So I know you have a book. You're an author. So did you self-publish? Did you go traditional route? What lessons did you learn from that experience?
Oh, my gosh, Kimberly. I'm so glad you asked. I was scratching my head. My husband's also in business. And at one point I said, this whole book publishing thing is a racket, and the only people making money are everybody but the authors. I was horrified at how many opportunities, some could call them scams, for helping authors get out there that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And when I was running the numbers about what the most likely volume for most spiritual authors that are especially kind of just starting out and haven't been introduced on stage by Wayne Dyer, what they were actually going to make, they were going to lose probably 80% of their investment.
Yeah, that's a scary
number. I realized I needed to be very strategic about how I was doing it. So yes, I self-published. I used CreateSpace. I know there are so many different services and a lot of wonderful private consultants that can guide people through that process. But for me, because my first book is basically a collection of almost like quotations from other work I was doing, it felt like a very comfortable kind of entry point into the self-publishing market because I was going to learn a lot about it. I did hire somebody through a service called Elance, E-L-A-N-C-E, to help me with the digital version and the formatting of the book and that kind of thing. And she saves me a lot of time and she was well with it. So I felt very positive about my experience with her. And, you know, that wasn't more than a couple $100. And then, of course, the CreateSpace account isn't that expensive either. But, you know, so I am making money on the book. But in terms of the time that I dedicated to it, I'm probably not breaking even yet. I'm happy I did it, but I learned a lot about, you know, and then there's the vanity book approach, and I don't want to use that word in a disparaging way, but I know, I mean, Kimberly, we probably both know so many people that wrote their first book, were so excited about getting it out there, and they say things like, well, it really wasn't about the money, and that's because they've got $5,000 worth of books sitting in their garage. I mean, I went to the Corn Festival in Minnesota, where my dad's from, in Ortonville, Minnesota, a couple of years ago, and there was a guy sitting there with a table and a book signing, and nobody's around, and I thought, that is just so sad. That's his dream right there on that table, and he's just trying to sell it.
That breaks my heart. Because
I know.
Because the book's a book for most people, it's like birthing a baby, right? It's like this is your child. And it's having the right marketing. Truly, you have to have a strategy behind it. Because even if you self-publish, and I always like to remind people that self-publishing does not mean that you do it all yourself, but you have a team in a non-traditional publisher type way.
Yeah.
But you have to have a strategy, because if you don't have that marketing strategy set up ahead of time, you will be sitting in your garage signing books for your family.
Yes. So I mean, let's face it, most of the clients that I have, since they're all over the world, I have never met them. My opportunity to sign books is very low. And I didn't want to purchase a lot of books because of the investment and the shipping cost. I did a calendar one year. I was so excited to do a very professionally done 12-month calendar, you know, I think it's 10 by 10 size or 12 by 12, the kind that you actually buy like at Barnes & Noble. I wanted to look just like the big guys. And that thing almost killed me. I mean, I was, oh my God, I was shipping calendars all over the world. Customs forms are not easy to do. There's a lot of manual work involved. I was so happy I did it. And for the 200 or so people that bought one, they were like, please, please do another one. I'm like, no. I'm never doing another calendar unless I have a system behind me where I'm not shipping them out and I'm not investing thousands of dollars in it. No, I learned a lot from that experience, but it was gorgeous. It was definitely a high vibe calendar.
Well, you just said a key word I want to point out too is system. Because if you don't have a system, and again, whether it's a marketing strategy and or a system or both, it should be both. But yeah, if you don't have a system in place, it ends up just sucking up all your time. And then you're paying yourself less than minimum wage because you're spending all this time doing things you shouldn't be doing.
Right, exactly. And I thought, okay, for all the different ways that I spend my time creating value for myself and for others, the manual aspect of putting together these packages and shipping them out is not valuable. It wasn't. But I'm happy for those that got them.
And you can say you did it. So looking back at your journey, if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
Nothing.
Wow.
I wouldn't do anything. There's so many amazing experiences. And I am one of those, you know, make lemonade out of lemons kind of person. So I really, with everything I did, I learned so much from it. Yeah, I think it it really all was perfect in hindsight in terms of the opportunity and the way that I'm doing it. And it was good. Those lessons were good for me. None of them were, you know, tragic.
That's great. That's, I don't think I've had anyone say nothing yet. So what are the next steps for your platform building for Beacon for Light Workers? Where do you see yourself going?
What is happening already is that there is more awareness of what I'm doing, and I am getting invited to, you know, more, you know, speaking and interview things like this. And, you know, I am getting that kind of hand reached out to me, like, Joe, we want to hear what you have to say. And that feels wonderful after creating your own stage, you know, for years and feeling very satisfied by that. But to have others basically want to invite you into what they've created to share what you're doing and invite you into their space of reach is really wonderful. It feels so good. So that's definitely happening more and more. The completeness of the, I want to say, the portfolio of work I have now is generating a life of its own. And there are still videos that I've created, you know, 5 years ago that I get emails from people that are just like, oh my God, Joe, you, I have never seen you before, but I came across this video that you did today and it changed my life. Thank you for being you. God, that was so worth it.
Oh, that's so amazing. That's so beautiful. To that appreciation, now that you've touched people's lives, there's just, indescribable, that feeling, for sure.
Yes, yeah.
So any last bit of advice you would give to someone who's has their passion and they're nervous about starting their business, or maybe they've just started and they're struggling a little bit, what would your advice be to them?
Trust yourself. And really listen to people when they compliment you. Listen to what they're saying. Because there are so many, I want to say, habits that a lot of us have for when people compliment us and we brush it off. And what they're giving us is a gift of insight into what makes you special. So when somebody says you're an amazing listener, they mean it. When somebody says you say things in such a clear way that I feel like you're speaking, like it's my soul speaking to me, that's a gift that you are. And it helps us better understand ourselves and how we do have the ability to assist and support others in their journey. So accepting with grace and, I want to say, self-awareness, the compliments that we receive in our lives, even just in our everyday lives, ask your best friend, what is it about me that you would describe in terms of what helps me stand out? Because some of us really don't have a lot of self-awareness about what makes us unique and what makes us special. But every single one of us is special. Every single one of us is a unique aspect of source energy. And that helps us not want to try to copy or mimic or replicate what somebody else is already doing so well.
That's great. It takes 2 seconds to ask someone, what's special about me? And yet that, I think, makes us so uncomfortable to ask that question.
But it's valuable. Yep. So that kind of, and then, I mean, doing that in a safe, intimate setting with somebody that you respect and revere is a wonderful experience. And then you can share back to them. Let's do it for each other. It's a much better use of time than gossiping. Right? But that trusting ourselves and that we do have purpose, we do have value, and we have to set that in motion. I feel like that's another kind of false notion that some of us fall into, that others are going to kind of hand us our gifts or tell us who we are. And that's a process of self-discovery that does take time. I mean, I'm 44 now, and I don't have near the self-awareness I didn't then, you know, 20 years ago, or even probably 10 months ago, that I do now. And that's part to me of expansion and evolution, is a deeper and even broader appreciation for all, not only all that we are and all that we've been, but further excitement about what we can be and excitement about that personal commitment we each have to grow into that.
Yeah, that's, I love that.
It isn't, I mean, this whole idea that, you know, well, tell me who and what I am so that I can get busy with that. I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to take that job from you. that's, I can help you see yourself the way I see you. But in terms of what you're going to put your own name on about who and what you are and how you want to see yourself in this amazing world, that is a very inner, that's an inner journey that can't be skipped over, or you bypass all that authenticity that we were talking about.
Right. And I don't think enough of us do that.
Then it's just a show. And when it's just a show, it's thin in its energy field and people can sense it. They can feel it. But you've got a baseline thing to offer, but there's not much there behind the front door window. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's so many things I've learned about, you know, what you want to invest in the business and what you can expect as a return, who you want to help you and who you'd probably be better off like not getting their help if they're not aligned with your vision and trying to steer you in a direction that doesn't feel right for you. What I do is very unique and some people get it and some people don't. So even with my website designer the very first time around, I was looking for somebody that even if he wasn't into any of this stuff, that there was some sort of openness vibrationally to the fact that of what I do and some level of appreciation for it. That was really important to me because all of that shows up in the way that we portray ourselves to the world. There is a vibrational element to all of it. Yep. Our websites, our emails, all of it. So I do tend to be pretty hands-on and I know that I can't stay that way as I grow. But for now, it feels really good to have a hand in different things and do my own newsletters and do my own Facebook representation and not outsource those things. But, you know, because I'm still building my base, kind of.
Right. And I always say, I know I don't like to turn things over until I know how to do them. And then once I know, then I'm like, okay, now someone else needs to take over. Because it's too hard to grow if you can't grow if you're doing it all yourself. So you definitely need a team.
That's right.
But bringing them in as you feel comfortable, for sure.
Right.
Great. Well, this has been wonderful. And if my listeners wanted to reach out and find you and know more about what you're doing, where would they find you?
So my website is www.beacon4lightworkers. And that's just how it, normal English spelling, LIGHTWORKERS.com. And there's the videos and articles section is that treasure trove of gifted materials. There's in the about section, there's an area about me. There's an intro video on the main page. There's testimonials. And of course, private sessions. There's a little link in the lower right-hand corner. And there's an event scheduled to see what's coming up. I do in-person events. I have one coming up in Austin, Texas, and a retreat in Park City, Utah, and a Cancun trip next April, and lots of really, really fun experiences for in-person events as well.
That's fantastic. Cancun. I'll be there.
Come and join me, Kimberly. We'll have fun.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been such a beautiful journey with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.